Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're going to talk some NFL football, college basketball is in full swing, and of course, NBA is right around the corner once again. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out. Hard hit into right. Back at the wall. Tie game.
John Cena.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they're free. So 293 coming hot at you guys, and so 292. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Strassman, Rock Disciples, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And how's Thanksgiving, guys?
It was good. Nick?
Yeah, tasty. Wish I had 3 games instead of 2, though.
That was unenjoyable, for sure. I agree with you there.
Are we going to see this game get moved again?
What's going on? I mean, I guess, like, I don't want
to waste Thursday to Sunday to
I don't want to waste one of my points on the Broncos-Saints thing, because that was ridiculous. I already said, made that little plea on the gram and on TikTok. But, yeah, I don't know. They're moving mountains for this Ravens-Steelers game, and the Broncos are like, yeah, this game doesn't mean shit to us. Let the Saints go win and get a W there. They literally handed them the game.
We posted a video about, I want to say, 2 months ago or a month ago. One of our friends create like a sketch of the NFL room, the commissioner's office, of them kind of moving around the schedule, and they said, what are we gonna do? We can't play the game on Monday. Guys, what if we play the game on Tuesday? No, but we can't do Tuesday. How about we do it on Wednesday? And it's literally the exact same thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually one of the worst jobs I've seen him do, because he made an example out of one team, but is doing everything he can to protect another. Or another two teams, which is kind of bullshit. Like, I get you want to punish these guys, right? You're not going to follow the code. Well, guess what? You're going to get in trouble. But at what point are we? First of all, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to have a guy who's not a quarterback under center, because he threw the ball 9 times. And, you know, kudos to him for stepping up to the plate and doing it. But if you don't have the right guy in there, and he's over or under throwing guys, and he's setting up his guys to get rocked coming across the middle, like, it becomes dangerous to a certain point. And I feel like they didn't take that into account, and they just kind of threw that team into the fire. It was kind of unbearable to watch. And what was the spread? Was what, like minus 17?
Well, they took it off most books.
So you had, someone had it. I feel like I spoke to someone who had it.
It was Braun.
Braun, our
Braun
boss.
Braun Husum Stomp.
Braun Emanuel, our boss. He had it, and I guess we probably shouldn't be publicizing that, but too late. Yeah. I hope Cam Rogers doesn't use that for our Twitter post.
Insider info. Believe.
Where are the funds going on the Saints minus 17? Yeah, but if he really, but I will say this about Braun. If Braun wanted to make a bet, which it's not illegal now. Now you can do it, right? So you shouldn't have to.
Depending on where you are.
Yeah, but if you had to make a bet on where Braun would bet, if he were to make a bet, what would you say?
I think that Braun would want to go to betonline.ag.
Nice.
Today. Nice. And he would probably want to take advantage of all the great up sign-up bonuses they have.
Awesome.
You know, when I think about it, though, no. I'm gonna stick with that pick. I think Braun would want to go to betonline.ag and sign up today. Totally would. That's where Nick goes. That's where Braun goes. That's where everyone goes. Bet Online, your online sports book. Experts.
BetOnline.ag.
Yeah, but that game was not a fun one to bet on. Obviously, you know, this is a overall serious issue. You know, we're probably seeing the implications of it across places where it's not that important, you know, in fantasy and when we get to watch these games and stuff like that. But it's just like, at what point do you just say, okay, Ravens, Steelers, like, it's not going to work. Too many guys have COVID. Like, push the game to, like, put in a week 17. Like, they should have had the system in place where they really knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't just kind of on the fly, like, now we're going to play on Wednesday. Like you're talking about, Nick, in that video, where it's like, that was a comical, farcical video, and now it, like, actually came to play. Which is crazy.
And I hate to toot my own horn, but I want to bring up the point that I thought, I have not said many reasonable things in the past few years, but I think one of them, Toss and I had a quarrel of sorts in the kitchen today over something I said. But I had a good idea. I actually had a good idea of a quarantine bubble. I thought it was a really good idea that I had, and Goodell didn't even look at it.
I wonder why.
Tell him, Nick. I think it's kind of BS. Like that, they could have had, they had no plan. And I don't know what Aluka, your boy, you know what he said? They asked him, who's got the best shot at the NBA title? And he's like, whatever team doesn't have COVID issues. Truthfully. Because what if it gets to a point?
Every team already has to deal with injury issues. Yeah. Right? Now you throw in COVID as well. I mean, it's just another thing that you have to tackle as a GM.
Here's an interesting idea. I don't want to like stereotype or say like an age group, but I feel like the younger teams are going to be more susceptible to going out and like not taking versus guys with families. Like a guy like LeBron.
Are we talking about the NBA? Are we talking about the NFL?
I'm sorry, I'm talking about the NBA.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
But I feel like every
roster has a combination
of both,
right? Yeah. I mean, there's some rosters that are predominantly young guys, but I think there's still your veterans here and there on those teams, and you're dealing with coaches too. You're dealing with trainers. It's not just the players, right? These guys are all in close contact with each other. This small group of people who they designate can be in close contact with each other, no matter what. I don't know if we'll see a trend in that way, but it'll be interesting now that you put it out there to kind of pay attention to that.
Yeah, we could take a look. I mean, and here's another one thing I'll say more on the end, and then we'll go back to the NFL. I think there's a bigger age gap. Like from a guy coming up from AAA, it's going to be who's like a AAA guy. It's going to be harder for them. The better guys are usually in AA, right? Ditto with the practice squad. You know, it's rare those guys come up. Like, no one did that in the MLB, but they had to come up, and no one really turned heads. Like, oh my God, the guy came out of nowhere. And he got a shot because of COVID. I think the NBA could be a little different. I think guys could potentially, there's like G League guys who could be decent players, and they just don't have a roster spot right now or in a two-way contract.
Saying that are going to get the opportunity.
That are going to get the opportunity to play, and they could show out and be good and like not be like all-stars, but, you know, obviously, you know, work their way onto a roster spot and have something locked up for next year.
Well, I also just think that the NBA and the scheduling of the NBA season is not going to allow for as many of these kind of variables to be thrown into play. I mean, you look at the NFL and it's you're playing once a week, right?
So yeah, there's, you have a whole week,
6 days to for all of these different types of scenarios to happen. And they're already cramping the NBA season, pushing it, you know, to start December 22nd anyway. So I feel like just with the travel with those teams, they're going to have less opportunities, and hopefully that results in less positive COVID cases.
I prayed for the first time, I think maybe ever, for a vaccine the other day. Do you know what it has to come to me to pray? I don't even know how to do it. I prayed for a vaccine. I literally was thinking the other day, I was like in the shower, and I was like, if the only way to receive the vaccine was I had to take 3 shots directly to my anus, I would do it. Tenfold. I mean, I can't. Yeah.
Wow. If that's a vivid picture you just described for us.
I painted a vivid picture on the gram for the people the other day too.
Yeah, you put out some words about Urban Meyer hopefully becoming the what you would do to
give
allow,
my left and right nut
to allow for Urban Meyer to be the head coach of Texas, and it. It seems like we're really close. I know, you know, all Texas fans are feeling pretty optimistic about it. We'll see what inevitably happens, but it would be pretty unbelievable, you know, for the kind of the coaches that we've had since Mac. Obviously, it's only been Charlie Strong and Tom Herman, but both, you know, both kind of like middle of the pack schools where they succeeded, and then bringing them onto you know, a big prestige school like Texas, and neither of them performed like they needed to keep their job. Well, Herman still has a job,
well,
right?
Texas
now.
is done going after those guys who are not small names, but, you know, names that are up and coming, right? Like, I think that it's time for an established winner, a guy who's been there before that has led a program to stardom, a household name, like a Nick Saban type, like a Pete Carroll type.
It has to come to that, which is kind of unfortunate. I think you've been on that, Nick, which I, you know.
Well,
I,
the thing about Texas, though, and the university is that they have the money. They've always had the money.
Exactly.
To do it. Because if you want to go get one of those guys, if you want to pull them away from the school that they're already coaching at, you want to take them from the analyst job, you know, that they're currently operating in, you have to show them an unreal number. And, you know, the projections is what they're you know, offering Urban Meyer is crazy. It's like $12 million a year, which is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toss, you've been my inside source for the last week or so about this case. I mean,
yeah, I've really got my ear to the ground here. I mean, I just, like, Board of Regents people who talk to other people, and it's just kind of like,
I asked you to let the people know what you're hearing.
What I'm hearing is that things are that Urban likes the number. That the real issue here is whether or not the doctors and his family think that it's the best thing
for
him.
The wife is not into it. I can.
Here's the thing.
Because, and the counterpoint to that is, like, you don't need to coach more than 5 years with Texas. Like, you can still impact your overall college football legacy by coaching Texas and succeeding in 5 years' time.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to question a man's health. Okay, if his family is against it, you know, if he's against it, if it's a serious issue, then I'm not going to question it. But it was very unique timing of when he decided to retire. Because remember, he was put on paid administrative leave by the university after it came out that he found out about Zach Smith's, you know, domestic abuse going on and all that good stuff. I mean, bad stuff, I guess. And so it was really interesting timing when he decided to retire and step down. I'm not sure. We never heard anything about his health problems before that. So we don't know for sure that his health problems are actually.
I think he had some at Florida.
I had thought so too, that it was kind of like the pressure. Apparently the way that Urban Meyer coaches, the way that he goes after just his work, like, he brings so much of himself, so much time, effort, and just energy into coaching that he, like, just exhausts himself past, like, the point of no return, basically, and it's, like, detrimental to his health, which, of course, like, you applaud him for his accolades and what he's done, because he's a tremendous college football coach.
It just is a shame. Like, I don't get, like, Nick, and I know, and it's tough to argue against you in the sense that, like, we brought in these mid-level guys, these guys coaching at mid-level programs and doing well there, albeit, and they didn't pan out.
Yeah.
Like, Chuck was good at Louisville. Like, Herman was good at Houston. Like, these guys didn't pan out. But like Urban Meyer, but he didn't just start at Florida. Like, he was at other universities. He was winning at other universities, but he was at other – he was at Utah. He was at Grambling State. He was at other places.
Yeah, everyone before. Works yeah. their way up, but it takes kind of a different breed of coach to succeed at yeah. that, you know, the upper echelon.
And we just need a guy that can do it and has done it before.
And if it's not him, that's the real question is where do you go from there? And I've heard a lot of buzz that it's NFL coaches will then come into play.
Yeah, totally.
So
totally. I would totally we've talked
as about, long as it's not Gase, Patricia, well, here's the thing. Doug Peterson. I mean,
what's more appealing, an NFL job or the University of Texas job? Because there's going to be a lot of
you're not getting Bieniemy. Like a guy like that is going to take an NFL job because it's going to be there for him. But there's right. going to be other guys.
I mean, if they can get paid $10 million, it's a pretty damn appealing job.
Yeah, there's going to be other
problem.
Guys
the problem
who
is you're behind the eight ball on recruiting because you wouldn't be able to come in until. Unless it was a coach that's already been fired, you wouldn't be able to come in until January at the earliest, like late January, early February.
Here is my dark horse, and I've been keeping this close to the chest. And this is just to go, but now that it's out in the open with the NFL guys, if he doesn't get a head coaching job, he's always mentioned as a candidate, he just never takes it.
Your boy?
Yeah.
Wow, McDaniels would be kind of crazy. Doesn't have any ties, does he?
No.
I mean, they draft Longhorn guys. You think?
I just turned my hat around. I'm wearing a
Niners hat.
49ers. Apparently,
I think McDaniels takes a job.
I've heard murmurs that Shanahan is disgruntled with where things are right now, and that I think he's a fit for Austin. I think he's like. Kind of a perfect fit, but I just don't see San Francisco is so close to being back if they had guys that were healthy that like, and they're so competitive that even still, even with their depleted roster, they're so competitive. But I've heard murmurs of Shanahan's name, which would be interesting. Obviously, I would welcome him with open arms.
He's good enough where he could get another NFL job
for sure
if he wanted to. I would. Yeah, that would be epic. He's like a super. He went to a Super Bowl as a coach and as a coordinator.
Yeah, it's a great coach.
Yeah, he's legit. But yeah, that Iowa
State. How much of that do you think, though, is the fact that he actually went to Texas? Like, people are just saying, oh, he's a Texas guy. Like,
yeah, I mean, everyone grasps at straws a little bit, right? It's always like, oh, they, you know, Saban's wife was looking at real estate in the area. Like,
but that makes more sense because he's a Longhorn. I mean, like, you know, with Shanahan, I'm sure when he's getting to become, obviously, you want to be an NFL coach, but how dope would it be? Like, Nick. For you,
well, you want to be an NFL coach unless you're Dabo Sweeney, unless you're Bob Stoops, unless you were like Urban Meyer at the time. Like these guys, Nick Saban, and then Nick Saban went to the NFL, tried it, didn't work out, so he went back to college football, and now he's arguably the best college football coach of all time. Like,
yeah,
those guys, it's to hold that pedigree of being one of the best college football coaches, and some guys don't want to have the pressures of it being a professional sport. They want the collegiate aspect of it where they get to mold minds, really. That's an aspect that I think Urban Meyer really appreciates, right? Is like what kind of impact he has on these guys after the fact. Whereas in the NFL, it's much more transactional. It's just,
Also, when he was coaching the South,
chess pieces.
He was coaching the Southeast. The big thing is recruiting. Urban Meyer did not lose a recruiting battle in Florida. Like, he's got to look at it like, okay, I'm going to go to Texas. Jimbo's there. But outside of Jimbo, and that A&M nonsense, like, who's going to beat him? TCU will never – if Texas wants him, once Urban Meyer's there, if Texas wants him, maybe A&M's got a shot. OU is not going to be like – it's not going to – we're losing Texas recruits to OU, a good one.
Yeah, that's I was going to say, that's the biggest competition when it comes to Texas recruits.
Yeah.
And apparently Ohio State now. Like, exactly – and, like, now we're losing – like, Ohio State – it's dipping into our pool and dipping in not just this year, not just like now with Quinn and with Quinn Ewers, it's multiple guys. It's
which I texted you guys.
Garrett Wilson was an awesome guy.
Urban Meyer's son-in-law is the quarterback coach at Ohio State who was instrumental in bringing Quinn Ewers. So it'll be interesting to see if the Longhorns do bring in Urban Meyer, if that changes things with Quinn. We already saw him flip the coin already.
He'll come.
Could he do it again?
These guys.
I mean, we would certainly be really excited about that.
Yeah, but Lewis, the linebacker.
I don't blame him right now for going to Ohio State. I'd do the same thing if I were him.
Totally, they're winning. They can't lose. And the Big Ten is Wisconsin, Northwestern, horrible game a couple weeks ago. Eat each other alive. And now the Big Ten is starting to look like the ACC with his one really dominant team. and everyone else could almost
everyone else sucks.
And everyone else stinks. Exactly. Penn State, I can't even fathom. Michigan
sucks.
Horrible. Horrible.
Michigan State sucks.
Yeah. They're just disappointments. Let's carry that word sucks, I guess, into our next segment. We'll give like our three takeaways from this past NFL week.
Who sucks?
No one sucks. One of my big points is it just sucks in general because I feel like the Falcons and the Texans are actually kind of decent. And if they had the right head coaches to start the season, even with the DeAndre Hopkins trade ordeal, I think they'd actually be competitive at this point in the season. Like they're competitive within the game, but they're not competitive in playoff implications. They like the Raiders, I think, are a good team. Clearly, they played the Chiefs very well, went down to the last 2 minutes, and they've beaten the Chiefs. So they've played the Chiefs well back-to-back games, one of which they've won, and they got absolutely demolished by
the Falcons.
They
got trounced.
Trounced by the Falcons. Creamed.
I mean, clearly, it was clearly, an exhaustion from playing the Chiefs, who were just that much better than them, and they played them really well. Obviously, they almost won that game. But
the Falcons murdered them. And the Falcons not only murdered them, the Falcons did something that we never see them do. They played well defensively.
They played very well defensively. I mean, through the first quarter of that game, Matt Ryan was not having a good game.
No.
Not at all. And the defense really rushed the quarterback well. Just like an impressive win by the Falcons. But yeah, I agree with you. I think a little more so for me, I lean in agreeing with your opinion with the Falcons and less so with the Texans.
You think the Texans are hot trash, no matter who's at the helm?
No, I think that they have beat up on a division that in the last like 10 years hasn't been very great. And I think that even when the Jags had that great season, they weren't that good as we saw when they finally got to the end of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think now the Titans are a real contender, and I think they have a complete team. They've got a great coach, and I think they have a good plan built for the future to continuously compete.
Yeah.
But the Colts have an issue with quarterbacks, right? And I don't know. I don't think since even with Luck, right? Like they never were incredibly competitive. I just think that the Texans kind of beat up on them because they had J.J. Watt and a really, really good defense. Now their defense isn't as good. When all their guys are healthy, they look better. But even still, I mean, the best weapon on the field, Will Fuller, test positive for PEDs, and now he's out the rest of the season.
Another guy did too. Bradley Roby did too. I think it was Bradley Roby.
Roby Coleman.
Yeah, they both did.
They both did. They both did, and well, the Colts were good with Luck.
Just think that Deshaun Watson is very good.
So do I, but I also think Fuller is good. And I also think Cooks is good, and Cobb's out, but they had issues running the ball. But I think their offensive line, for the most part, is starting to come together, and their defense is not horrible, but it's not great. It's not horrible.
No, I don't think they're hot garbage, but I definitely don't think that they're like, if I'm looking at the number 15 spot in the NFL or the number 16 spot, I guess they trend on the lower side of that still.
Okay, but I also think the
Colts, nothing would change them going to the top 16.
I think the Colts right now are in a good position to make the playoffs. I don't think it's necessarily a lock that the Colts make the playoffs. By the way, I think they're in a good position. But if we get to a point next week where the Texans beat them, I'm gonna be like, what the hell? Like, what the fuck was that? Like, why are now? Like, now you're gonna get hot? Now you're gonna start winning games? You know what I mean? The Patriots, not a brutal test. Obviously, the Lions pretty much an easy gimme win at this point. They fired their head coach and GM. But the Texans, like, it's just disappointing to me. And that's my first point. My second point is I think that the Giants could win the division. And I think whoever wins the NFC East, particularly them, I think it's bad for that team.
Just in terms of like getting a pick for the draft,
I think it's bad. The Giants are a bad football team, and they need a pick in the top 12.
Well, here's the
which,
thing.
If you lose that division, you're gonna like the winner of that division is gonna be like 6-10.
Here's the thing.
Yeah,
I think there's two things here. So I think the NFC East is starting to heat up. I think that teams are playing good football, better football. I mean, the Eagles were competitive last night against a good team. You know, the Giants got the job done. The football team looked good against the Cowboys, and I know that it's against the Cowboys, but I mean, with Alex Smith there, he's taking care of the ball, and they're playing great defense. I mean, it's a good team, I think. But here's the thing. If whoever makes that push to the playoffs, and I'd also think it's going to be the Giants, you're still getting Daniel Jones experience, playoff experience. You know, he's still a young quarterback.
Is he going to come back, though?
What do you mean, is he going to come back?
He's hurt.
He, like, pulled his hamstring. He'll be back. He was standing on the sideline after he came out. It's not like he's out forever.
No, like you're right. I mean, he's
hard, that's yeah. valuable playoff experience for a second year guy.
Yeah, and their defense is solid, but they have Fackrell's bad injury for them this past week. I just
think, and it's playoff experience for their coach too.
Yeah, I think the football team's I think the football team actually is closer to decent than the Giants are. As solid as the
Giants. I mean, you're talking about the Giants' defense. The football team's defense, and I almost said it there. I almost messed up, but I caught myself. Their pass rushers. I mean, when Chase Young and Sweat Ferocious. Are operating on both sides, it's unbelievable.
They're phenomenal.
They're so athletic.
Why like Sweat fell because of like the heart condition? That was so stupid.
You know what's awesome about Chase Young is that he is all like, watch a football team game. He is all over the place. He is on the sideline next to the head coach. He is dapping up Antonio Gibson after he scores a touchdown. I mean, the guy is like, he is a rookie, but he is leading that locker room already. And of course, he's all over the place on the field as well. Like, he's a tremendous talent.
Yeah, I mean, but he was like that at Ohio State. He's a leader.
Yeah. Oh, but he's just good guy. The right pick.
I mean,
right,
yeah. He's one of those guys that we knew he was going to be what he's as advertised.
You know, what's a bummer is I'm looking as a Cowboys fan, I'm looking at mock drafts and like, here we are. We might end up being the fourth pick, and this draft doesn't really have a Chase Young in it, and I'm really bummed about that because so many people. The good thing about it is so many people want quarterbacks that there's potential for the Cowboys to then let someone trade up to get their guy and kind of and reap the benefits of it
and retool the offensive line, which they now need to, and then or they can sit there and make the pick and take the Alabama cornerback. Or they can move back and get the Virginia cornerback or get the Ohio State cornerback. Like you can get one of these guys. And Nick, to go on your
point. Now, I also kind of want them to move back to like 13 and pick Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
Which would make our receiving core arguably the best.
What are we at that point? Ever. It's insane at that point. But like, look at the Buccaneers. You know, they have Wirfs has been great, but they have some other offensive line issues, and you can have all the weapons in the world. And Brady's not been perfect, but you got to give it your right time. But Nick, to your point on Daniel Jones getting playoff experience, yes, that is very valuable, and that is something that I obviously did not take into consideration when making my point. I just think that they have a lot of holes still, and I'm not completely sold on him as a quarterback. He does make some nice throws. But already Justin Herbert's a better quarterback than he is. Already Joe Burrow was a better quarterback than he was. Even Tua having to be pulled out of the game has shown me more, and I've been more impressed with stuff that Tua was doing than Daniel Jones was doing. And there's quarterbacks across the board. Like, he isn't better than Baker to me, and I don't think Baker's all that good. Baker missed a horrible throw the other
day. I think they're pretty similar in like their inconsistencies, and yes, they'll kind of surprise with a great throw here or there. But then they'll have a a boneheaded kind of decision where they hold on to the ball and fumble it, or force a ball and throw an interception. Mm-hmm. But valuable experience. I actually think that the football team is going to win this division, and I think that they're a team where their schedule's so tough. It's tough. But depending on depending on who they played in the first game, I think they could be like a sneaky upset, because if their defense showed up and they just held someone, if they just held the team like in check offensively. It could be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you who they're going to play. I mean, they're going to end up probably playing either the Bucks or the Rams, or I mean, whoever basically comes out of.
Look, if they eat Jared Goff alive, I mean, he can lose the Rams a game.
Yeah.
More likely, it's going to be the Bucks, but
by the time they get there, the Bucks.
That's going to be the top.
Yeah, seed they won't lose to the Bucks, but
yeah,
they won't lose to the Bucks.
Me, I think that the Giants have an easier schedule going forward.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
The football team does. That's why I think the Giants make the playoffs. But I mean, it's going to be a good experience for anyone who gets in there.
Yeah.
Glad that the Eagles aren't making it. That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't even need to be the devil.
Crazy that. Okay, if you are a team who thinks that you're going to be making comebacks, go trade for Richard Rodgers, because he is the ultimate Hail Mary catcher. God,
what the hell is that?
Backdoor cover.
Yeah, Brando, you had Wentz. What you had a crazy bet, and our friend Brandon had a crazy bet as well.
Yeah, I had Wentz over 1.5 touchdowns. So
the Nick Kreider lock
for last second.
That's nothing like the Nick Kreider lock, dude. My last point, and I will say this, and I'll just be gone with it. If the Chiefs, by some miracle, don't win the AFC and go to the Super Bowl, it's not going to be the Steelers. It's going to be the Titans. Titans to, I am a firm believer, come playoff time, you need to be able to run the shit out of the football, and the Titans do it. I don't know. I guess since AP did the 2,000-yard season, it's like the best.
You know, it's hard to argue. It's really hard to argue.
It's like the best I've seen since him.
They really have it all. I mean, they've got a great O-line. They've got the number one running back in the NFL. They've got a guy in their quarterback position that takes care of the football and has been there before. They've got star wide receiver on the outside. Star. They've got some receivers inside, and they've got a good tight end. They've got a good defense, and they've got a great coach. So it's really hard to argue that. Yeah. I mean, they could give the Chiefs a run for their money. I mean, they played them in the AFC Championship last year, but I mean, they've definitely tuned up a little bit since then.
Yeah, it's, I mean, this guy, he's like the best I've seen since AP, and I'll leave it at that. And the receivers, both of them, by the way, Corey Davis is coming into his own, and like Devontae Parker, sometimes you got to give these guys a shot. Now, Corey Coleman, maybe not one of those guys, but Devontae Parker clearly was, and he's coming to his own. He's a good wide, he's a great wide receiver. And I think it's the same thing with Corey Davis. And I think if Mike Williams in a similar situation, if Mike Williams is on the field, he's productive. And you got to let these guys come into their own a little bit.
Well, it helps when you have a really competent wide receiver across the ball from you, too. You've got A.J. Brown. Yeah.
Clearly
better, I also kind of think it depends on like what the scheme is as well, right? Like, I feel like Mike Williams isn't given the right plays. Like, all they do is have him run straight downfield or run like dig routes. Like, that's all I see him ever run. Like, let's throw some other routes in there. Like, let's see him do some drags and some slants and some out routes and stuff like that, because he's physical and he's got great hands. Just put it on him and he'll make a catch. But I hate that deep ball mindset that they're always doing. That
horrible.
Ends up getting hurt.
I mean, if he's that athletic, like, imagine what he can do in open space on a slant. Right?
Right.
Imagine what he can do in the open field.
What wide receiver?
And I know they look to do that for Keenan Allen, but why not have both guys do it?
Well, just look how the Seahawks utilize DK Metcalf, right? It's not only long shots down the field. Yeah, they utilize him another slant. You have to be creative. Yeah.
Slants, he does drags, he does corners, he does posts, he does everything.
Throw Keenan in a little bubble screen that these people love to do, and then hit Mike Williams in a slant, get a little fake out going.
Yeah.
All right, those are my points. Nick, I'll defer to you. What do you want to add to the table?
Well, I mean, I'll kind of go back to this whole COVID thing with the postponement. We touched on it a little bit, but to me, it just seems like they really care about the games where there's a superstar that's involved, right?
Yeah.
When the news broke that Lamar Jackson was the one that had COVID, then it started to make sense. Okay, we can't just cancel this game. Like, we gotta make sure that we can, you know, actually get it going. And I think they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And I guess it seems as though Lamar's not gonna actually be able to play. But now the entire locker room there is exposed to it. You know, Mark Andrews is one of them, and they've got guys all across their team and like their roster that's just riddled with COVID. So I think it really just depends on the players involved and the team involved before they really kind of get the postponement thing going. Because like we said with the Broncos, I mean, that's not a team that's contending for anything. They're already going to lose to the Saints, even if they had their quarterback. But instead, they played with no quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a bummer. And it's unfortunate. But they also had an outside shot. And I don't hate this Broncos team at full health. I don't like Drew Lock particularly much. I don't like him that very much. But I don't think he's bad. And I think they have a lot of exciting weapons. And I think this is a
team that lost Cortland Sutton before he even played a snap this year.
Yeah, they have rotten luck, clearly. And they had to start Brett Rypien for a couple weeks. But they could have, like, their defense didn't start off poorly. It's just they had to get right back on the field. And at that point, the Saints are so creative that it's over. I think, you're right, Nick. It's just BS.
Right.
Next point?
My second point is hot take, but...
Go for it.
Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, greatest offensive trio of all time.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it in the NFL, and I was going to say that's not a hot take. But you're going to say greatest offensive trio of all time.
It's up there.
That is a scorcher.
I mean, you look at Mahomes, all right? A lot of people are already going
to
kind of put their money on him as being the greatest quarterback of all time. If he gets the rings, you know, if he gets the accolades and all that good stuff, he's already on pace.
Yeah.
He's far and away got the talent, and he's on the right pace to make this actually happen. Most betting men would do that. Tyreek Hill, you know, for a while we were like, okay, this guy's just a deep threat. He's got a lot of speed. You know, he can track down balls. He can return punts. But you really see how they utilize him now.
Yeah.
And he's just like a smaller, faster AB. He runs great routes. He makes good catches. He makes people miss. He can do it all at the receiver position. He's the most dangerous weapon in the NFL in my eyes. And then Kelce, of course, you got a receiver playing the tight end position, and he is third in yards behind Tyreek Hill. I mean,
he's incredible. Incredible.
I haven't seen anything like this.
I mean, I think for me there, the kind of kicker is actually Tyreek Hill. As great of a game as Tyreek Hill just had, I think, and I was very high on him prior to this year starting. I actually like in those, we've had how many different discussions have we all had, like the three five, of us just being five, like, who are the big five receivers? Yeah. And Nick, you often draft Tyreek Hill in fantasy because you really respect his skill set. But I think like for me, he's the one that you could kind of point at and put other people ahead. No other trio right now is popping into my head, but it's hard to argue against Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce, who both of them, if they play on the current trajectory that they're going, and Mahomes wins the same amount of championships as Brady, which is would be unbelievable if he did it, right, he'd be the best quarterback of all time, and Travis Kelce would be the best tight end of all time.
I'll cheat a little bit here, and I'll correct myself. I'll say trio as in receiver, tight end, quarterback.
Okay.
We can leave out running back, receiver, quarterback, because there's so many great running backs out there that played on
Green. Okay, that's fair. Between those three,
Aikman and Irvin and Emmitt Smith, that's a great one.
Yeah, that
was great. The trio just in general of Brady, Welker, Moss was also pretty ridiculous when Moss caught 23. And if you go to your home team or your old team, I guess I could say, they had a number 17 was pretty good. 85 wasn't bad, and we all know what 21 could do, man. Those three were pretty damn
pretty
good.
But Kelce
could be the best receiving tight end I've ever seen. Could be, and I love Gronk. And Mahomes could be the best quarterback I've ever seen, and Hill could be the best deep threat receiver I've ever seen. And he could be he does so many things great. But as far as deep threat goes and his breakaway speed goes, he could be the fastest, most dangerous guy in open space I've ever seen. So, Nick, to go on your point, I don't think that is outrageous.
No. I think, Nick, after that game, Kelce is actually number two. I think he's two in receiving yards this year.
He's three because DK
Metcalf is one.
Metcalf, yeah, that's right. He crushed them. That's true.
He's a beast. I went against all three of them in one game. And a must-win fantasy.
Yeah.
And obviously Miles Sanders blew nuts. Nick, your last go.
I've been wrong all season.
Okay.
I think the Cleveland Browns are actually pretty good now.
Yeah, I agree.
I know they played against the Jags and they squeaked it out by 2 points, but that running back duo was just
disgusting. Have you seen a running back duo like that? That is an anomaly because that's a freak thing. So normally Kareem Hunt would still be on the Chiefs.
That's two top 10 running backs in one team.
Yeah, like top, almost top five.
Top eight, probably.
Yeah, both of them. Chubb could be top five. Kareem Hunt is like not any better or worse. Like they're kind of the same.
Yeah, I'll just, one of mine will be in on this take with you, Nick, because I was going to say basically the same thing, but Josh was alluding to this earlier. When it comes time for playoff football, running the football is so, so valuable, and that's what this team does to a T. So like they're going to be a threat. I look at all of these teams outside of the division leaders in the AFC, and they're kind of the scariest team for me. They're scarier than the Dolphins.
Yeah.
They're scarier to me than the Colts because the Colts have too many issues on offense. And what's the other team then the Raiders dropped a game. They got trounced by the Falcons.
Could be the Raiders. Yeah.
And I would pick the Browns over all of them because you know what you're getting every single game.
Yeah, the Raiders won't go in. It's going to be three of the Browns, Dolphins, Ravens, Colts, the Browns are easily the best of those three.
They're 8-3. Can we? Yeah, I think this is so impressive.
They're eight and three, but the remaining schedule is moderate. They've got Tennessee, they've got Baltimore, then they play against the Giants and the Jets, and then Week 17 they've got the Steelers. So
the thing about this team is they can win any. I think they can win almost any game because they can control the football, control the time.
Right.
And you don't.
But is Baker going to actually perform?
Yeah.
Big, big situation. You know, you never know.
No, it's a really good question. I mean, he missed one very easy throw across the middle where it should have been an easy touchdown.
The worst.
And he can't miss those throws. He doesn't have to be great, but they are already kind of putting him in a position where he can't be great, right? Because they don't ask too much from him.
Yeah.
But he does have to make those easy throws.
Right.
I was curious.
Jarvis Bald. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, I picked him up in our league against you guys.
Well done, Nick. And Hooper finally scored a touchdown too. So I feel like if those guys are clicking as well, you know, this offense is tremendous.
I don't want
to
throw.
Just want to let it be known to our fans out there that I think this is the biggest blowout our league has seen this season.
It's the highest score for sure.
You crushed
my squad versus your squad.
I think there was, nothing we could have done.
I think you're going to win. I really think you're going to win the whole thing this year. I think this is it. I think this is the year you get it done.
I mean, when the guys get healthy, I still got McCaffrey on the IR. And I got
you have McCaffrey too? Oh, yeah. There's no chance you lose this. There's no chance. Your team's incredible with McCaffrey. Oh, my. You have McCaffrey?
You do.
Holy Nick, you got this in the bag, dude.
Thanks, man.
Good for you. I mean, oh, and the T-Mac is livid about the Jarvis Landry thing. I told him I did the same thing in another league. Herbert's a great pickup. I mean, the Edmonds thing's meh, but the receivers of Jefferson, Hill, and Brown, plus now Juice, I guess, plus you got Deebo Samuel, who you could throw in there. I mean,
and I got T. Higgins on the bench too.
Wow,
what a good for you! Is all I can say. Honestly, I can't really. You're running three defenses, kind of wild, but fuck it. I mean, you have the spots. Yeah, good for you, Nick. I will say, here's this. I'm gonna throw this out to you guys. Don't look it up. Don't do it. You guys are better than that. Since the year 2000, there have been three duos that have rushed for 1,000 yards in the same season. Three duos.
Since what year?
2000. Three duos that have rushed for 1,000 yards in the same season.
Stewart and D'Angelo.
Yeah, it's got to be one of them.
Okay.
Right? Is that one?
Yeah.
Ronnie Brown and...
No.
Ricky Williams? No.
No. Great guess, though. Really great guess.
Did Peterson and Taylor do it one year?
No.
They were close. Taylor had like 800 yards one year, I think.
Okay.
Jags?
Nope. Great guess, though.
Michael Vick, Warwick Dunn.
Attaboy. Nice. Nice. Way to think out of the box, Nick, and that's why
Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram.
Nope. That's a really great.
Mark Ingram didn't get 1,000 yards last year.
Didn't get 1,000
yards. Close, though. He was probably close, too.
Yeah, because I think Chubb and Hunt are going to do it.
So there's one more, you said?
And it's two running backs.
Yeah. Nick, that's why you're going to win fantasy. Way to think outside the box.
I want to say Jacobs and Bradshaw, but I don't know if Jacobs ever got 1,000.
You're on the doorstep. You're there. You have a package. Someone just got a sign for it. One of those guys.
Bradshaw did it.
No.
Jacobs did it with.
Who's that guy? Who is he? Name him. You know who it is. Who's that? Who was the third guy?
Where did he go to college?
Iggy Barber.
No.
No, Barber was, he was retired then, right?
So it's it's Brandon Jacobs and someone else.
Yeah.
For the Giants, right?
On the Giants. On.
Are you looking up where he went to college?
I'm looking up where he went to college.
Why am I,
living in New York, I knew these three guys. Because this was like, everyone hung on these. These are the guys that beat us.
Does his name start with an S?
His name does not start with an S. The college he went to was Ottawa.
What?
Ottawa?
Started at Fresno State. His name is Derek Ward.
Derek Ward.
Yeah.
He ran for 1,000 yards?
Yeah. That team, they won. I think that was the year they won.
That was a three-headed monster.
Three-headed monster. How you get it done? Toss, your other 2 points.
We said they were a pretender from the beginning of the year.
Yep, still are.
Past week 5, past week 6, past week 7, for the last like 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
The Bears are just the biggest pretenders.
Yeah, ever. Get out of here with that offense. Nagy's could be done.
They're tragically bad. They're tragically bad. And in a primetime game, the Packers just dominated them. Just dominated them. And it's just so... It's just embarrassing.
It's always hilarious when
it is. It's funny. Like me, I'm another NFC guy, so like I want to see both of those teams. I don't like either of them.
Okay,
but I mean, I like rooting for Rodgers because this year Rodgers, like he's like single Rodgers and he's like fun and like having fun with like life and his receivers and Devontae Adams.
He's not dating Danica Patrick. That's over.
No, they broke up prior to the year starting. Yeah,
I can't believe he broke up with Olivia Munn. I would never have broken up with her.
I don't know.
In a million years, gun to my head.
The girl from High Maintenance.
Isn't she the girl from 4G? Isn't there that commercial? Doesn't that what she's from? She's from like a gaming network.
Oh, Olivia Munn.
You know that commercial? Can I get a hot tub?
Yeah.
From like way back when, like she football season. They go, and can I get a hot tub?
And she's in the hot tub?
And no. And then the guy in the hot tub goes, and the girl from 4G or like G4 or something like that, and Olivia Munn pops in.
Because
that's where she like got her start, was on this like gaming network.
It's a State Farm commercial. I knew her from Newsroom.
Yeah, that was her first like breakout role, Newsroom. She's so cute.
Yeah, oh my God. So cute. Big Pretenders. And the funniest thing to me is like, it's like the thing with Dan Quinn. Nagy's an offensive guy, and their offense every year is the defense is always good.
Yeah,
the offense every year is the damn problem. It's like the thing with Dan Quinn. The offense was always great. Defense can't stop a nosebleed.
You started the season with a guy as your quarterback.
He's hurt. Oh no! It's Trubisky. You started with Trubisky.
This has been the longest season of my life. You start with Trubisky.
Jesus Christ!
You give him the chance to do it. You've got Foles as the backup, waiting in the wings.
He sucks.
Guess what? Foles comes in. Foles is just a backup, and he just like was an opportunist and crushed it in that moment for the Eagles, who had a great system in play, a great offensive line, and good weapons at the time. And he successfully executed plays for Peterson, but not the only reason why they won. But Foles is not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Only for the Eagles.
Yeah. Sucked when he went on the Jags.
Yeah, totally.
You had Trubisky start the year. No one thought he was the guy. You had the guy waiting in the wings as the backup.
Yeah.
Guess what happened? Trubisky sucked. You put in Foles.
Yeah.
Foles sucked. You put back in Trubisky. How many times have people told you that Mitch Trubisky, I don't even care. Find someone else. Cut him. Don't give this guy, and I feel bad for him because, like, they're doing this expose on Mitch Trubisky when the game started, and they're like, Mitch Trubisky, like, all he wants to do is play football. Like, he's won the locker room back, and it's like, no, he hasn't. You're just saying that on live television, and then he gets his ass kicked.
And
again,
all the guys are tweeting.
And not even, like, things that were bad, like Za'Darius Smith, our guy, and Preston Smith, who had both of them had great games, but it wasn't like there was nothing he could do. He wasn't helpless. He just was bad. As he has been, except that one game where he threw 5 touchdowns, and now that's why he's on an NFL roster as a starting quarterback.
Trubisky is not a good quarterback. He makes bad throws. The players, Tariq Cohen, Anthony Miller in particular, are tweeting after the game how big of an embarrassment it is.
Please, someone go trade for Allen Robinson because that guy is too good to waste away in Chicago.
I think he's up. I think he's a free agent. Because my dad and my cousin the whole Thanksgiving are talking about how the Jets are going to sign him. Like Allen Robinson.
Don't do that to him.
Allen Robinson's going to the Jets.
You can't do that to him.
No way.
He's
made his money. Let him go to a contender.
Please go to a contender.
He's played for the Jags with Blake Bortles, and he's going to play for a good quarterback. Yeah, I can't imagine he wouldn't do that.
He's so good.
So good. So good. They're talking at Thanksgiving dinner like as if it's a real possibility. I don't care how much Kevin. Last point, take us home.
That's so funny that they thought that.
Epic, right? Hilarious.
As good of a team as the Saints are, if Breeze isn't healthy,
no chance.
They're in trouble.
No chance.
Here's the thing. Here's a quick little thought about Allen Robinson. So he's a free agent next year. Going to turn 28.
Yeah.
Chiefs have a guy who will be an unrestricted free agent next year, and Sammy Watkins. Maybe that's a good replacement.
An infinite upgrade.
Wait, Allen Robinson goes to Kansas City?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, Nick. Get out of here with that.
That would be I would not put it past him.
Forget best trio. I mean, like, easiest lock for best quad quartet. What is it? I don't even.
Best offense of all time.
I still can't believe this Buccaneers offense that they have. I think they're gonna put it together eventually. And when they do, when everyone's like,
they have not won a game with AB yet.
But when they do, when they put it together, which they will figure it out, especially come playoff time. We're talking about AB, Evans, Godwin, and Gronk.
Yeah,
and
but you know what? Their defense is blowing it too, though. I mean, it's supposed to be this great defense that stops the run, and they're blowing it.
I'm very much with you. Bowles not been good as of late.
Also. Lest we not forget that the tight end opposite of Gronk, got hurt early in the season.
O.J. Howard.
They had O.J. Howard, too.
It's the longest season of my life.
Yeah, it's a long season.
Ronald Jones is the biggest winner of that offense so far.
He's a good running back. And Fournette, I don't know why they were, like, a couple weeks ago, they were running Fournette over Rojo.
He vultured him multiple times.
But he wasn't even running the ball well. It was kind of bizarre.
Fournette sucks.
Yeah, he's mad on him. That's why you don't take a running back early.
I'm officially, like, I've always been on board with not taking running backs in the first round of the NFL draft.
Always.
I'm officially on board.
Yeah.
Don't ever take a running back in the first round of the NFL.
There's no point unless you're the Chiefs. And
I mean, look at the predicament that the Cowboys are in now.
It's no longer the early 2000s, late 90s. Like back then, whatever. But now it's like you can find a guy anywhere.
I would rather take a running back than I would rather take a wide receiver than a running back. Like there's no running back that was even close to the value that Jefferson had, let alone Lamb or Judy. By the way, Jefferson's insane.
The Eagles are the
biggest losers.
The biggest losers of all time.
Not even like Ayuk, who's like
you hate Carson Wentz. He's terrible. He has
not good.
He has no. I don't know what he's supposed to do. That offensive line is brutally bad. That team is so bad at drafting. They haven't drafted a Pro Bowler since Carson Wentz. That's crazy. Like you have to hit in the draft
always.
I don't think Peterson is the issue. I think they're going to fire their GM. I think Peterson keeps his job and stays another year.
I don't even care what Jalen Reagor does, but you picked him over a guy who everyone told you was the right pick in Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
And look what he's doing for Minnesota, and they are so happy, and they're making a push. They're way better than the Bears.
What was wrong with T. Higgins? Like, I don't understand what was why.
He was dealing with injury coming off the end of the season.
Well,
I don't know, but you have the best – basically the best offense football has ever seen,
yeah,
and their best receiver, you're not going to pick him. You're not going to take Justin Jefferson, and look at him. He's just clowning dudes. He's unbelievable.
Regardless.
Passed on DK Metcalf the year prior to pick JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know
God.
What? Eight teams passed on DK Metcalf and they all
Yeah, but they didn't pick they didn't pick Arcega-Whiteside, who's terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. The
Eagles, they cut him? Is he even on their team?
He's on the team.
Shouldn't be. He's bad.
But Nick, to Toss's point, you're going to?
No, I'm saying regardless. I'm so out on taking
versus
them. You look at the history, right? Just like take a look back within like the last 5 years.
Yeah,
right?
I mean Cook, Kamara,
Melvin Gordon, right?
Henry.
He's on a new team.
Yeah.
You know, Gurley, he's on a new team.
Doesn't work.
Barkley, or his ACL, or where the fuck Gordon is hurt and he hasn't played a full season. You know, McCaffrey, you know, he's been great, but he's hurt. He's banged
he's
up
hurt.
Right now too. It's like there's no sure bet with any guy in the first round.
And like even like a guy like Kamara, there's questions like the Saints. If the Saints don't pay Kamara, it's like, all right, they spend a third round pick on him. If the Panthers don't pay McCaffrey, kind of a bust. Like Fournette to the Jags. If you were to label it boom or bust, the Jags drafting Fournette fourth overall, there you go.
Huge bust.
And look what happened this year. The one bright spot on their team is James Robinson.
Undrafted.
You can find a guy anywhere.
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 But you can't find a quarterback. And to your point, your last point, the Saints cannot win with Taysom Hill at the helm. They can't win at all. They can't.
No.
No.
He's not a real quarterback.
Not a real quarterback. Jameis is blowing it, clearly. What the fuck? You can't get it together to be the quarterback for the Saints?
I mean, I can't even believe it. Like, I hadn't even really thought about it or looked at, like, the numbers behind it. But prior to this year, Taysom Hill had thrown like 28 total passes. That's basically like this other guy that you're talking about that was playing opposite of him. It's not because he's at least been taking NFL snaps. But it's
also shout out to him though. I mean,
yeah, it was so impressive.
Yeah, shout out for sure.
People were ripping him, but I think he got a lot of respect.
I think people were like in on him. I think people shout out to Sarah Fuller, the Vanderbilt kicker chick. Shout out to both of them. I think people were a little harsh on them on the internet at points.
Yeah.
First of all,
yeah, can Vanderbilt get in field goal range so she can attempt a field goal?
What dickhead?
Not even getting field goal, do anything.
What? The Vanderbilt coach
is
an absolute, I think he was canned. He was fired.
It was 41-0?
He's an absolute dickhead.
They dirked him?
They fired him. And I will tell you why he's a dickhead, and we'll let everyone go. Dickhead because she's going to get in the game once. Let her show the leg and like let her like kick it.
They made her squib it.
What bullshit is that? What a fucking asshole move. They made her look like she couldn't kick.
Unless
you weren't going to win
unless that wasn't true, and they made it sound like it was. They're like, oh, yeah, it was an intentional squib.
And kudos to them. But they're coming out and saying it's a squib, and now it's like, I don't
know.
Really,
I don't, I mean, I don't know, obviously, but like, I don't believe that. If you have a leg, you have a leg.
Let
the,
her ride.
The power thing is like, there. I get any women's national team goalie to kick a ball, see how far they can kick it. She could kick it.
Oh, this chick could kick it for sure.
They intentionally did this.
They intentionally did this, and like an asshole, and he should be fired for putting her in a position to get reamed and roasted by the rest of the internet. Who the fuck does that? Like, what are you thinking?
A lot of people. Praising her too, though. Yeah, there's good in that as well.
Yeah. Kudos. Back real quickly to the Saints point.
Yeah,
I think Jameis Winston's going to get in this game because okay. I think that, you know, with the offense that the Falcons have, you know, it's to pass happy offense, and they put up a lot of points, and they put up a lot of points last week. Mm. You know, without Julio Jones too.
Yeah,
healthy and ready to go. They're going to be playing from behind, I think, the Saints. So they're going to need someone who can actually gun the ball and not run around with it.
Yeah, I agree
as well.
I agree for sure. It's got to be Jameis. Good point. All right, a lot of good points, and we'll get to college basketball and NBA another time. That's it, guys. Really.
Wait,
good.
Can I unveil the Christmas Day schedule?
Oh, quickly go, Toss. And everyone pick
just
their
so
favorite
you,
game.
Just so you guys can know, well, both your teams are all three of our teams are playing on Christmas Day, so we should all be excited about that. The Pelicans are playing the Heat. The Warriors are playing the Bucks. The Nets play the Celtics,
okay,
which will be a great game. One. The Mavericks play the Lakers, which will be another really good game. Obviously, it's always good when you get to watch Luka and LeBron play each other. And then the Clippers get a revenge game against the Nuggets.
Okay.
Going to be a good one.
Pelicans, who are they playing?
The Heat.
That game sucks.
Why does that game suck?
The Heat are going to beat them.
Yeah, but you get to watch Zion.
Who is the Bucks playing?
It's a superstar-driven league. They're playing the Warriors and Steph Curry.
That makes sense.
Yes.
The Warriors are going to be good.
All these games are good.
Pelicans are not making the playoffs.
Yeah, but I'll watch Zion Williamson play basketball any day.
I'd rather that be the Grizzlies versus the Pelicans.
Let's get the Blazers in there. They're going to be good. If the Blazers are going to do it and make it.
All right, so they missed in your eyes on one game, but they hit on four.
They did hit it. It's good games. Good slate.
Nets Celtics? That's a great game. Potentially an Eastern Conference Finals matchup right there.
Kemba's not playing.
That's not good.
No.
Kyrie Irving is.
But this is like the start of the season, though. This is the season starting just days prior. So KD and Kyrie may not be like at full tilt yet.
Yeah. Unsigned free agent Isaiah Thomas said that he's feeling quicker than he's ever felt, as quick as when he was on the Boston Celtics.
11 out of 10. Yes. He's my favorite. 100%. He's my favorite. He's my second favorite Celtic ever. Bring him in.
You want to bring him back to the Seas?
Maybe third. I love KG.
You want to bring him back to the Seas?
Yeah. Ray Allen, KG, Isaiah, Paul Pierce. And then is how I rank him. Honestly, Jaylen Brown's maybe five. I love him.
I'm really excited for your team to take on the Nuggets for that kind of revenge game for you guys, Nick.
Anybody that's out on the Clippers is losing.
Although I could totally see Kawhi not playing that game.
Kawhi's a loser. He's so good at basketball, though. Fans out there, drag both feet in bounds, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, your PKs get the free hinge, free throws. Why, guys?
Because they're free, baby. Because
they're free. We out here. We love you.
We sitting here. I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice. 5 seconds left
in the game.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound Bosch. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.